It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, Atmore Dragway, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed. Get your butt to Ed's Shed.
They got
if
some.
If it ain't fried, it ain't food.
I'm telling you.
Hey, Tom, I was looking on one of those internet social media pages. I forgot which one it was now. And somebody had taken a picture from Ed's of the sunset from that back deck. And it truly is beautiful.
It is. It is unbelievable looking back across that bay. And then see all that traffic on the bayway, but the sun overpowers all that. So when it's going down, it's neat.
But it really did look good, and that's complimenting the staff and the menu and the music and everything else going on.
It's doing a fine job. Kevin, I know there's somebody out there that's got car problems.
There's
got
to be.
We sat in here for the last couple of weeks, and we talked about everything in the world, but we didn't fix any cars.
I've seen some cars that could barely climb a hill.
I saw some cars that really need fixing just coming to work tonight.
I know there's cars out there that need fixing because we got them in the shop.
Yeah, some you got a shop
we
full
don't,
of
and
them.
We don't have them all. So I know somebody's got to be out there that got problems.
You know, and that's true. Most of the shops I see around here, they've got them double-decked. I'm looking for them to, you know, buy one of those big forklift deals, you know, and put the double-decking racks all the way around the shop so they can double-deck them and then just take them off when they need them, you know.
I tell you, it's, you know, and this is typically, you know, the last part of this month is typically a little slow for most shops because we got graduation coming up.
Right.
But I really can't say that we've been on that far off. You know, we've got quite a bit going on, and, you know, we're definitely not off on the service oil change rotate work. We do, you know, just a nonstop business with that right now. It's I tell you what, our whole I don't know, business platform or whatever is it's changing.
You know,
we're doing so much more maintenance work now.
Good.
Than what we were doing, which is good, which means, you know, the cars are probably built better and don't need as much repair work and even
last
more maintenance work.
We have never seen the quality of vehicles that we're getting now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all in the 50-something years that I've been involved with the automobile industry, this would be our finest day when it comes to the quality of the equipment that we're seeing.
Oh, yeah. You know, and people are realizing that, you know, the price we charge for an oil change and rotate using synthetic oils and, you know, the GM filters and that is actually cheaper than you're going to get it.
Now, wait a minute. We shouldn't be calling it an oil change.
Well, it's a service.
It's a service, know? Yeah. Which includes an oil change.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's where I think with the industry is not properly selling that particular phase of the automobile industry and is, you know, the fact that it's a service requirement. Now, you know, back in the days, even I can remember before I got it over on the automobile side, I was working for a truck line. And back then we had A services, B services, and C services. Right. And we had one person that did that just by the amount of mileage that was on the trucks.
Right.
And we had it even on our trailers.
Right.
And when we had one central location, which was in Charlotte where I was at, and every vehicle in the system had to be rotated to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And it was up to the management out in the field with all of our other 38, 40 terminals that we had to make sure that every vehicle they had got sent to Charlotte at least one time every 6 months. Mm-hmm. Because when that vehicle hit that service, they called it a service rack, they had to go across.
Right.
And all the trailers had to go across there, too. Mm-hmm. But that's where all the tires were checked, you know, the grease leaking was checked, you know, the U-joints on the drive shafts were checked.
Right.
All the fluids were changed, you know, and everything was checked. Radiators were checked. I mean, it's like a 80 or 100 checkpoint.
Right.
But we didn't have breakdowns.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We caught all that stuff in the shop.
Exactly.
And we didn't lose tires. Our guys didn't have breakdown time because if we saw it, we had our own, we recapped our own tires for our trailer tires and stuff.
Right.
But every tire was checked for, it had a depth check, it went on a record, depth checked on there, and every tire was checked to see if it had any cuts or anything in it.
Right.
And, you know, if we had to slide in tandems under the trailers, and if you had a couple of tires on there that looked bad, well, they just jacked that. They had a lift, and it jacked that trailer up. You pulled the pins and undid the airlines.
Slide the whole tandem
slide that whole tandem out, and you got another one that had been rebuilt and was refurbished and had all new tires and all under it. You slid that sucker over there and pushed that one over in the repair line. You know?
Yeah, and get the trailer back on the road in 30 minutes.
Well, you know, within about 3 years from the time that we started trying to figure out, we were running millions and millions and millions of miles a year.
Right.
But it was costing us ungodly amount of money in breakdown time.
Right.
And blowouts and flat tires. Mm-hmm. And the truck would go dead. Or, you know, the oil lights or whatever. All kind of stuff. Anything that could happen to. Once we got that program in, when we started doing those service maintenance checks, we cut it down to like 0.1%.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It was phenomenal.
Tom, couldn't a broken down truck sit somewhere for even days at a time sometimes, depending on what?
Not my damn truck.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm talking about, you know, if you're waiting for somebody
with
the right stuff to get there to fix it.
Well, I was talking to a guy that we both know the other day. He was driving a truck, and he was going down the road, and they've got a leased trailer, under under the container. And he felt something go boop, you know, so he looked in his mirrors, and he saw the rubber fly. Well, he lost a tire.
Right.
But he was about 60 miles from his destination, and he had to be there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had an unloading time.
Right.
So he just gets on the phone, you know, dials the office and tells them that he needs to have a tire repairman there to replace a tire at such and such place of business, and that as soon as he gets unloaded and comes off of their property, they were waiting outside of the gate and put a new tire on there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we didn't have all of that back then, you know? We had trucks running all the way from New Orleans to Boston.
What kind? Right. What were you hauling? A little bit of everything?
LTL, you know, less than truckload freight, miscellaneous freight. We didn't run solid loads, too, but we were the LTL carrier.
But some cargoes can't wait.
No, you know, no. Well, hey.
If it's perishable or if they need something on time.
Hey, you talking about that? I don't know. We only got about a minute, so let me run this one by you. We worked with a Midwest trucking crew that was running NASCAR, and this guy had 150 or 200, he called them condo trucks, you know, tandems, but he had a contract with Hyundai. See, these guys don't have warehouses no more. Back in my day, we had warehouses, and you go to unload it at a warehouse, and then they would put it in there, and then you know, 3 days later, a week later, whatever, when they needed it, you pulled it out, put it on another truck, took it around in, whatever. Not now.
It's on-time delivery.
It's on-time delivery, and that truck's supposed to be there, and he's given like 15 minutes to be there at a certain time.
Right.
So those guys had every 300 miles, they had a truck parked. You know, and they had somebody that would have, they would take care of it, and if that truck, that guy had a problem with that tractor.
Yeah.
He'd kind of call you out on the phone, and that guy would meet him. He'd come to him.
Yeah.
They'd swap trucks on the road, and off he'd go. Then they'd send him another one, pick that one up, fix it.
Yep.
No, you didn't have breakdown time.
Oh, no.
But what I'm saying, though, is that type of maintenance is where we really need to go with our cars now. And actually, the factory recommends that.
Preventative.
Oh, yeah.
Preventative maintenance.
And we don't have all these problems. Then you don't have these $5,000 maintenance bills.
It's amazing. It's rare. You open the hood once in a while and check things.
And see if it's still there.
Right. Don't wait till the tire blows out to replace it.
I'll get there. Exactly. Would y'all show me how to open the hood?
Hey, that's a challenge nowadays.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short rest.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillac.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. You know, we're talking a little bit about maintenance and the importance of maintenance and the
it's so important.
The difference it makes to maintain your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts down on breakdown times and expenses. A lot of times if you catch something when it's a small issue, you know, it doesn't cost near as much as if you just let it run.
Right.
You know?
Right.
What was the old line, pay me now or pay me later?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Later's always big check later.
Yeah. Later's,
later's always the bigger check.
Oh, yeah. Later's always the biggest check.
Yeah, for sure. But it looks like we got a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, what can we do for you?
Yes, I had a question for the car doctor.
Sure.
Hang on, I can't hardly hear you.
All right, go right ahead.
Okay, y'all. Yeah, what I had... I got a little Hyundai, and I see this a lot with front-wheel drive cars going down the road. If you're behind them, the rear wheels look like they're leaning in at the top.
Yep.
I know it's a common problem. I've got it going on with mine. I was just wondering, what is that an alignment problem, or is it wheel bearings, or what causes that, and what do I need to do to fix it?
Well, I mean, the first thing to do would have the rear suspension checked and check the alignment on it. Now some lean in at the top is pretty normal nowadays. That's pretty much how most of them are set up. They've got
right.
about a degree of a negative camber built into them,
right.
which is visible to the naked eye. So you can see that. It depends on the rear. I don't know which rear setup yours has on it, but, you know, a lot of them have a solid axle. Some of them have an independent rear suspension. If it's independent, you know, it could be a just as simple as an alignment adjustment, or it may be, you know, something bent or worn. Just need to get it checked and see if you can't do something with it.
Yeah, I've noticed my rear wheels are kind of wearing on that inside edge where it's riding like that.
Right.
I kind of thought it was maybe an alignment issue or something, but I will definitely get it in and get it looked
at. What kind of mileage you got on it?
My car's got 150,000 miles on it. It don't take long.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, you need to get it checked in with that kind of mileage.
Yeah.
Okay. I sure will. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Appreciate you listening.
Well, Kevin, wouldn't that leaning in a little bit affect tire wear?
Well, it does affect tire wear, and you know, a lot of the manufacturers have actually sacrificed a little bit of inside tire wear for handling and stability of the car.
Mm-hmm.
It's BMW is one of the I'll call main culprits. They run a lot of negative camber in their front and rear, and you'll look at the outside edge of the tire and look great, but the inside edge will be worn
mm-hmm.
out.
Right?
Is that to give it more width or something?
Footprint? It doesn't do that, but what it does do is when you turn hard and you lean into a corner, that tire kind of rolls over a little bit, and then all of a sudden it's flat on the ground instead of riding on that outside edge.
Right.
So it gives you the more stability once you get into a corner. Same thing we do on round track car. I mean, I'm adjusting leaning tires to make them have the most contact patch in the corner when I really need them. So it does sacrifice tire wear a little bit, but it does make them handle better, for sure. But
let me run this one by you.
Okay.
And this was on a Chevrolet truck, and I was talking to this guy the other day. The people that had it before him had changed the tires and put some 24-inch tires on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not common for the like a 07 or 08.
No, you could I think you could get the 24s back then, but at least 22s you could. It was an accessory wheel, the entire package you could put on one. But no, it's not common.
Well, it had that, and then it had some big old, I call them mud grip tires on it, you know.
Right.
You know, for something like somebody was trying to make a darn four-wheel drive woods truck out of it or something, or, mm-hmm. you know. But where I was going with this is the fact that by having that on there, now the truck doesn't even ought to have 100,000 miles on it, but the front end, all the ball joints and all is wide on it.
Ball joints wore out. I'm sure the front hubs are probably worn out as well, because you've added a ton of weight to the front of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Plus, you moved the tires outboard, which puts a lot more stress on all your ball joints and suspension parts, and especially the bearings. So yeah, I mean, as soon as you start modifying the way that truck was built, you're gonna start wearing parts in a hurry.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, you know, and you say, well, some engineer built the thing. It's the way it's designed. That's why nobody can work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that is true. But they have all kinds of engineering characteristics that they're right at their desk there when they're designing these parts and pieces and all. And they design those parts that move and have stress and wear on them to sustain certain amount of pressure.
Right, certain load.
And certain loads. Because they don't want to build that thing any, you know, to be any heavier duty than what it has to be, because number one is the cost factor of going mm-hmm. to the customer. The other one is the weight.
The weight it takes to get it there.
Right, you know, so then it, mm-hmm. then your gas mileage, you know, goes right. the hell in a handbasket. So they're trying to keep everything as light as they can.
Right.
A lot of those components and all that I've seen in the front now are aluminum.
They're doing a lot of aluminum control arms right. and suspension parts on
they're
vehicles
now. They're
not
the big, heavy old steel ones like we used to have.
No, and they've actually, you know, we actually went overboard here a few years back and started building the suspension parts too light. And we were having vibration problems because it just would not control everything the way it should,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, they've kind of backed up from that a little bit, put some little stouter stuff up there, little heavier components. They weren't having failures. They were just fighting vibrations, you know.
But back in the day when we had all of the cast iron and steel components and pieces in the front end, we had in and outer wheel bearings.
Mm-hmm.
And running races and all that they were in the hub. Now we have a hub bearing assembly.
Right.
Have you seen inside of one of those? I mean, do you have an idea about the size of the bearing surface in there compared to what we were accustomed to in the past?
Yeah, they're actually, the bearings are much larger than what they used to be. And it's not a serviceable bearing, so you can't go in there and pack them. You know, and like you used to, but they hold up so much better than what the smaller wheel bearings used to hold up. You know, where like an outer wheel bearing, even on this little 69 truck of mine, it's probably 1¾ inches across. Where the hub bearings that we have now is probably a 4-inch bearing.
Okay,
you know, so it's a. You know, a huge difference in the size of the bearing and the ability to hold a load.
Well, you know, back in the day, we normally couldn't get 70, 80, 100,000 miles out of a set of front wheel bearings on a vehicle.
Yeah,
you had A2 and A6 or A1, mm-hmm. A4 bearings or something right. combination on the front end. Mm-hmm. And it was an old BCA bearing number, so it seemed like right. that was a. 50-20-what-something.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I'm having to go back 30 years.
Man, you're carrying them parts around in your head.
Yeah.
That's why I have trouble with these hard drives up there. I got too many numbers.
I can't even remember my home telephone number.
Need to purge the stuff you don't need anymore so you got room for the new stuff.
Right. You know, yeah, I got to purge it, you know, reboot some of these old hard drives I got up there.
Can we upgrade our brains?
Yeah, that's what I need to do. I need to reboot mine. But where I was going with that is, but now we don't. We used to grease the upper and lower ball joints.
You know, and most of them don't have fittings anymore.
Well, they don't even have fittings now. You can't grease them.
And, you know, the grease and the seals and you know, dust boots and all that stuff is way better than what it used to be. But I still like to have a grease fitting on mine.
Yeah.
You know, it's I like to know I can reach up there and grease it if I need to. Mm. But, you know, we don't have an extreme amount of problems with bearings or with ball joints and that.
Under the conditions that the vehicles are designed for, I mean, if you want a heavy-duty vehicle, you need to buy one. You know?
Right.
If you want an everyday driver, then, you know, just buy that.
Yeah.
But under the conditions that those particular vehicles are built on, there's no problem putting 150,000 miles or something on them, you know, or 200,000 miles without having to change all of that. Mm-hmm. Unless you do like I was talking about, you put the wrong size rims and tires and all on there, mm-hmm. and then you abuse it. You know?
Right. Well, I've seen a ton of vehicles that have 150, 175,000 miles that the front end's still in good shape on.
Yeah.
And 30 years ago, if you'd have done that, every piece of it would have been worn out.
You wouldn't be driving it. It'd be junk.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It'd be in a Japanese car somewhere. That'd be already melted it down.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, it's they're building, you know, way better pieces than what they used to.
And they run great as long as we properly maintain them and service them.
And, you know, and getting back to the maintenance part of it and the importance, you know, I've always been a big advocate of taking it back to the dealer to get, you know, the service done. Just for the simple fact, say, okay, you bring your car in or you buy a car. You bring it in, you have the first service done. That's great. But you got a buddy that, or you can change oil yourself at home. Well, by the time you buy the oil, you buy the filter, you find a place to get rid of the old oil and filter. You spend half the day out there doing that and rotating the tires. You really haven't saved any money. It's cost you about the same amount, if not more.
Right.
And you have no records of it being done.
Right.
So if you bring your car in and it's close to, you know, still in warranty, but you got a problem with it, you bring it in. First thing I want to do is ask you, you know, I need to see some maintenance records because you've got an oil failure here, you know, or something to do. You know, we have so many cam actuators and all this kind of stuff on the cars now that depends on clean, fresh, good oil. I need to see maintenance records, and you don't have any.
Right.
So guess what? It may not be covered.
There you go. There goes your warranty.
But if you bring it to us, you spent the same money. You didn't have to lay out in the yard and do it.
Right.
And we got the records on it.
Well, when I quit paying $4,000, $5,000, and $6,000 for a new car, and I started having to pay $25,000 and $50,000 for a new car.
Right.
I want a record of it. I want it serviced, and I want somebody to take care of my ride.
And want it done right.
Right. Yep. You know? Yep. And if there's something wrong with it, catch it before I get broke down out on the road.
Exactly.
I don't want to write those big checks.
Yeah. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Roll on highway. Roll on along. Roll on, daddy, till you get back home. Kissing mama goodbye. He's up and gone with the sun. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler and he's off on a Midwest run. And three sad faces gather round mama. They ask her when daddy's coming home. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler and they sure miss him when he's gone. Ah, but he calls them every night and tells them that he loves them. He taught them this song to sing. Roll on highway, roll on along. Roll on.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And we'll Welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remicle, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of text, let's see, I have an old 15 Toyota truck. I would like to run ethanol-free gasoline. Is there a problem with that at least once a month? Being a 15 model, first off, as long as you're driving that on a regular basis, you know, several times a week and burning some fuel through it, it's not necessary. You're really not getting a lot of benefit by running, you know, ethanol-free, because that truck is built to run a 10% mixture of ethanol.
Ethanol-free, is that more expensive, isn't it?
It is a little more expensive. It gets a little better fuel economy because you have less alcohol in it, or no alcohol in it, or ethanol. So it takes less of it to make the same heat, which is all the motor is a big heat generator. I don't really know that it's a big benefit as long as you're using it on a regular basis. Now, if this is something that sits on quite a bit, doesn't get driven, then you're better off running ethanol-free gasoline. That way it doesn't build the moisture up and doesn't separate like some of them do. I don't know that I would go there with it. Just run a good quality top-tier fuel and keep running, you know. One thing that running ethanol-free, I would either recommend running it all the time or none of the time, because you kind of confuse the computer when you're going back and forth, because it has to estimate how much ethanol is in the fuel for it to tune the motor properly with the computer. So you're better off just sticking with one and moving on that way. But anyway, let's see. We got also have Atmore Dragway. We need to mention here. We have. Let's see, Friday night, we got the street drags test and tune. Gates open at 6 p.m. and hot track at 7. Saturday, the 18th, we have Rumble in the Jungle, No Mods, Atmore track record call out.
Baddest No Mod of the bad?
Yep.
What is a call out?
Well, they're just calling people out to come out and try and break this track record.
Sort of laying down a challenge.
Yep. They're challenging to come out and see how fast your little hot rod is, and it ought to be a pretty decent little show.
It's going to be an awesome show this weekend.
They got quite a few local favorites there, No Mods, Pro Mods. So
weather's going to be awesome.
Yep. So it's we're talking about some pretty fast little cars here.
Nothing on Sunday.
Let's see. Sunday, they do have their Grudge Cash Sunday test and tune. Gates open at 4, hot track at 5. So it
3 days. Three days of activity at the track.
Yep. And Saturday, the gates open at noon, time trials at 2. So get out there and you can see some good racing going on for sure. But,
fellas, before y'all start on another car, I was kind of listening to what all you were talking about, and it kind of leads me to a point, and I think you probably see it at the dealership, and I'm sure other dealers do too. Once upon a time, for young boys, teenage boys, it was kind of a rite of passage that you learned how to fix some things on your car. Back in those days, things like an oil change or spark plug change or brake job or whatever was not nearly as complicated as it is nowadays.
Right.
And I think grown people, and I used to think the ratio of that was about 100 boys to every one girl that worked on cars. But I think it's safe to say that we have less adults today working on their vehicles, getting grease under their fingernails than used to. Because the cars are so complicated, you just can't really get to it. And that leads me back to this show. I'm thinking, okay, if I'm a listener and I've got a problem with my car, but I don't even own a set of wrenches, I have no clue how to fix it, why call in the radio show? And the answer to that, I think part of it is at least you can get from two experts sitting here every Monday night some idea of where your problem might be. And when you do go into a shop, you kind of have an idea maybe what you're dealing with. Because, you know, having some knowledge will help you get the job done, I think.
Well, it does. And, you know, there's a good point there where, you know, this show's not necessarily about getting you to fix your own car. You know, those days are they're pretty well past. Okay, your average person's not going to go out there in the driveway and work on this new fuel injected analog braked electric power steering car. Okay, not that with the proper tools and diagnostic information that it couldn't be done with someone, you know, with some mechanical knowledge. But it's really not feasible, you know. Back in the day, if you had a screwdriver and a couple wrenches, you could, you know, tune your car and, you know, change the plugs, change the points, adjust the carburetor, yeah. Change your oil, rotate your tires, put brakes on it, whatever. And, you know, no big deal. But there's cars now, you can't even change the rear brake pads until you hook a scanner to it and release the pressure from the rear brakes, you know, to where you can collapse them and put the pads in. So, you know, it just doesn't, it's just not feasible, you know, especially for the prices, you know, and you know, people always, and it's not cheap, don't get me wrong, but, you know, the prices on doing a basic brake job or, you know, an oil change or an oil service and tire rotation, they're, you know, it's a very reasonable price. Yeah. You know? People don't realize that until they, you know, come in and start asking about it.
Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, if somebody listening right now has got something going wrong with their vehicle, call and talk to you and Tom, and at least get maybe two or three ideas of what the problem could be. At least you're not going to go to a parts store and get 100 different parts sold to you because of a code coming up, or you go to some I don't know, fly-by-night garage somewhere that some guy says, sure, I can fix it. I'll just listen to your motor and we'll get it going.
Yeah.
So I think we're providing a service that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, I'm good with, okay, you have a problem in your car and you take it to whoever, don't care who it is. You take it to somebody and they've given you a list of things. If you want to call in, you know, say, well, you know, hang on, let me think about it a little bit. Call in and just, does it make sense? You know, because I've heard so many write-ups and explanations to people of what, you know, their car needs that just absolutely don't make sense. You know, you hear it all the time, and it really ticks me off when I hear that kind of stuff, because, you know, you hear people getting just taken advantage of.
You have people come in and say, here, I bought the parts, I need y'all to replace it.
They do. You know, and, you know, most of the time we will do that.
You can't warrant it.
It's not going to be warranted. Yeah. And I'm not going to promise you that's even what's wrong with it.
Yeah, they
you
might
know,
not
if we
even
didn't check
do
it.
That.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've had people bring in, when I worked in independence shops, bring in a box full of parts and say, here, they told me I needed these. Mm-hmm. It's like,
who told you?
Well, yeah,
somebody,
and that's the thing is,
to sell
you know,
some parts?
Yeah, it was a part store, maybe, you know, read codes and sold them a part for every code that was there. It was like, I would be willing to bet you everything in my pocket right this second that you don't need all those parts. And,
right.
And I've been right every time. So, you know.
Tom, that's kind of one of your pet peeves too, ain't it?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's I've seen it, and I've had people get mad, and it's like, they read the codes, and this said this is what's wrong with it. I want them put on there.
Here we go again. The codes don't tell you exactly what's wrong. Mm-hmm. It tells you the area that you need to start investigating and start checking those components that send a signal that would generate that code.
Right.
You know,
I've had people literally get mad and swear that we didn't fix their car because we only put one part on when someone had told them that they needed 10, 15 parts.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, take the car and drive it, and you tell me whether it's fixed.
Right.
You know? And
you be the judge.
You be the judge of it. You know, because, you know, very rarely does your car go from being fine, runs good, no issues, no lights, to needing 15 parts.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, if the light's been on for 2 years and you kept driving it, and, you know, yeah, you may have multiple problems, you know, but it's a little rare to have that many things go wrong all at one time. I never say never. It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But usually there was a cause for it. Yeah.
So I was just going to say call or text the show, even if you don't own a toolbox.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to have be the one working on it, but
I got a toolbox, but I try to keep it hid a lot.
It's okay to just try to have a little basic knowledge about what's going on with your car before you go in and ask somebody. You know, I don't like going anywhere without having some basic knowledge of what I'm going in to ask for.
Yep.
You know, so you know, that's the easiest way to be taken advantage of is if you don't have a clue what you're asking for. So. Got to be real careful about who you go and talk to. And
I think this would especially apply to women going into a shop.
You know, honestly, you know.
I don't think we have that much problem with that anymore.
It's not as big a deal, but, you know, there's as many men out there that don't have a clue about their car as there are women.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's, yeah. But we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Let me tell the story. I can tell it all. About the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made him whiskey, son he drove low. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town. The revenueers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road. Thunder, thunder, over Thunder Road. Thunder was his engine, and white lightning was his load. Moonshine, moonshine.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. And speaking of calling, we got a caller online. Caller, you with us? Yep, we missed him. If you need...
Hang on that line when it's ringing.
Yep, and we'll be back with you. If you want to call back, we're here. But, you know, we've... of course, we were talking about UJ and service and at the dealer and all that earlier. But, yeah, I'll tell you what, I've been nonstop getting new vehicles set up and ready for sale. We have a parking lot full at this point. If you want a bright colored Camaro, we got one. Basically, I'm sitting here holding a highlighter in my hand, and it's about back the highlighter yellow.
They can't see that if you hold it up in front of the microphone.
If you really walk outside, you can see the glow of it from here.
It's
bright colored, so it's okay.
Bouncing off the top of my head.
But caller, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. Hey, how you doing tonight, guy?
Great.
All right, I had a question, man. I got a 2008 Dodge Grand Caravan, and I'm having an issue. I took it to a shop, and I thought it was a leak in my manifold.
Mm-hmm.
But he informed me that it may be a spark plug leak. You know, you can hear the air seeping out of it. And I was trying to find out, you guys have any idea what it might be? Mm-hmm. He said a compression leak, I think.
Yeah, if you got a compression leak, it's hard to say if the plugs were cross-threaded in there when they were put in. Or not tightened properly. I don't know. It's more than likely you're going to have a thread insert installed in the head if that's where it's coming from. You know, and my guess is it's probably cross-threaded. If it was loose and it was leaking, it would have blown out by now. And if it's cross-threaded, it's just leaking around it. You're going to end up having to get that plug out and have someone rethread the hole and put a thread insert in. And just going to get someone to do it that knows what they're doing, because it's a little tricky. But it usually can be done on the car.
Did you have somebody change the plugs?
I did. I actually had a partner of mine, Dad. He used to own the shop, and he'd done it for me once before. So, before then, I really didn't have the problem. And it just popped up within the last about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You kind of hear it, and it's gotten loud over time, you know.
Well, right. What's happening is that's going to burn that hole in that spark plug cylinder, mm-hmm. and you might ruin the head. So it's something that you need to get fixed pretty soon,
yep.
like right now.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate your help.
I appreciate you calling in.
Are there machine shops that do that kind of thing, or is that done at the garage?
Well, a garage is going to have to do it, because the machine shop's going to want you to pull the head off and bring it to them, set it on the shelf where they can get to it. They ain't all about leaning over the hood of one.
Well, and here's where it's at. The reason I was expressing the fact that it needs to be done quick is the fact that if it's doing that, then it's the compression is blowing by that spark plug, and that compression has a temperature range of probably, 1,200, 1,400 degrees, maybe even 1,600 degrees. And that's probably 90% of the time it's going to be an aluminum head, and it's going to burn a trench down through the side in those threads by that spark plug.
It'll actually melt and start melting the aluminum where it's blowing through the.
And it can ruin the cylinder head, to the point. Or either the head's got to come off and somebody's got to weld it up and regrind it and reseat it. And, I mean, by that time you just get your rebuilt head put on it.
Yeah, and I've seen it actually raise the cylinder temperatures enough to where you actually do cylinder damage to the to the motor as well.
Sure can, because you're leaning that cylinder out, sucking that cold air in there.
So definitely get it checked out and get it taken care of before you run it too much longer. But let's see, we got one question here from Dave in Gulf Shores. Kevin, what is the max horsepower vehicle with a CVT in the GM world? Well, we only have one, I believe it's one, vehicle that is a CVT transmission, and that it would be the Spark at this point. And it's not a horsepower, demon. I think they make somewhere a little over north of 100 horsepower in the turboed version. So it's not a real powerhouse, but it's a small car, so it doesn't take a lot to make it move.
Okay, so what we're saying is, for a car that's got a CVT transmission in it, that CVT is not going to take a whole bunch of horsepower.
I have not seen a high horsepower output motor with a CVT transmission behind it. And for everybody listening, that's a constant variable transmission.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily have individual gears that it's shifting to. It's if you've ever looked at a four-wheeler or a golf cart that has a two-pulley system where one pulley grows and shrinks, where it changes basically the diameter of that pulley as you get going, that's basically what's happening inside the transmission, and it has a belt inside the transmission that's running on.
That's the weak link.
The belt is the weak link of it.
In fact, it does have a belt.
And honestly, we don't have hardly any trouble out of them.
No.
But we're not talking about a race car either.
No.
They're not trying to set the world on fire with them. Nissan has probably done more with the CVT than anybody else around.
I was thinking they have, and they probably got the biggest horsepower motors that are out in public now.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time now, I'm hearing, rumors that they have more transmission problems than other cars do.
right. Well, they're trying to – anytime you try and push the limits of what anything can be done, or you're trying to be the innovator, you're going to have more trouble with it.
Well, yeah. In that same vein, we've seen some advertising that says that there's only one shop that is certified to rebuild CVT transmissions. That is not true.
No. And
if you've been to that school, as far as that goes, you're certified in it. You've got two or three techs in your shop that are certified in CVTs.
Right.
You know, and every dealership in this town has got a guy. If they sell them into factory,
right,
they have trained somebody in that shop that can do that work. So
you've got to be trained in them before you can sell them.
I don't like people to be doing erroneous advertising.
No.
Like being, I'm the only cat that's certified to do this.
Well, you know, if you want to say you're an expert in that field, I'm okay with it.
That's okay with that. You know, people have been trained to do that.
I'm trained. We're, you know, we focus on this. This is what we do every day.
Right.
I'm good with that. Yep. You know, but don't say I'm the only guy.
That's no.
And you know, it's just like you go to the racetrack and say I'm the fastest guy around. Somebody will be there and prove you wrong.
That's right. Because if you outrun me this week,
right,
you might not outrun me next week because I'm going to be bigger and better.
Right. Right.
I'm going to have something that you ain't got next week.
Exactly. So, you know,
every name brand manufacturer that sells a vehicle that has a component like that, there's somebody in this shop that locally that's been to the school and is certified to work on that car. Or otherwise, they won't send one of those cars to that dealership.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, and honestly, the transmissions are fairly simple. They're really more simple than your regular, you know, 6-8 10-speed transmissions are, because there's fewer moving parts.
All right. Yeah.
You know, there's just not near as much going on. So, you know, hey, it's, not a big deal.
Nope.
There's people around that can do them. Let's see. I have a 2001 Mercury Cougar that has a misfire on the third cylinder. I've replaced ignition module, plugs and wires. I'm still having a problem. Well, one of the first things you need to do is do a compression check. Make sure you have a good mechanical working motor. And then you probably need to go towards the injector. More than likely, you've got an injector problem.
There you go.
If you have a good mechanically sound motor. But looks like we're, Charlie, we're running out of time here.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, wouldn't this weekend be a good time to find out what racing's all about at Atmore?
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And if you love it, this awesome weather, go see it.
And go see the new Chevys at UJ.
There you go.
Yeah, it'd be a good time to get out. Definitely better weather than we've had over the last several days. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't the other morning fun?
Yeah, exactly.
And all of our great veterans and first responders out there, we thank you, brothers and sisters. Hoorah.
A little place called Hamburger Dan. I stuck me a quarter in the jukebox. I played the song The Truck Driving Man. And the waitress, she brought me some coffee. I thanked her and I called her back again.